I wrote this and I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to say it again. But don't answer yet. You heard it. Are you preparing yourself to go into full-time missions? You know, as we're talking about Mission Month, a lot of times the focus is like missionaries. Bless them, bring them, pray for them. Hey, that's not what I'm talking about. We do that too. But we, as a church, we are kingdom-minded, mission-minded. What does it mean to be mission-minded? Maybe I'll preach that next month. Come back for more. But, you know, for some of you, it might sound like a silly question. You know, because most of us here would probably have a legal and valid excuse to be like, no, I can't be a full-time missionary. A full-time missionary, they give up everything. They live on support, you know? But that's not a silly question. Because God has called you to be missionaries. You see, this is where the shift needs to happen in your mind. You've been called and you've been released on the mission field. That's why the church's purpose is to equip you. Okay? In all seriousness, you've been called. You know, and as we kind of wrap up this month of mission, as a matter of fact, next week we're having, he's still coming, Janet? Okay, so we're having CPC coming. So we're going to extend mission. I love it. Yes, we're going to keep it going. But you know, I read this in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. All this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. So I've been reconciled with Christ. So Christ has called me to reconcile others with him. So I live and breathe that. You know, here in our church, we live and breathe that. Everything we do, we're going to do it with mission-minded. Every people we come in contact with, we come in contact with the mindset, you know what, how do I bring the light in their darkness? It says God was reconciled, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and give us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed us the message of reconciliation, we are therefore Christ's ambassador. My goodness. Christ's ambassador. What a privilege. Heal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf. Be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So, we are very honored again today to have. I was thinking last night, you know what? I find my long lost brother, he's Chinese. So, put your hands together. Come on here, Mark.
My brother, thank you so much.
Hallelujah. Yes, indeed, I feel the same way. Thank you, family, for bringing all the sons and daughters home. And thank you. Thank you. It's so good to be home. And thank you, Dan, and you know, Roxanne, the team here leading the worship before the throne of God. All the songs, like the declaration and it's such a powerful statement. You know, we are here for a purpose, to see his kingdom come. It will be done. We are the agent, we are the ambassadors, you know, that God is using his church to be the witness. And not only here, that's the mission, you know, start from it, Jerusalem, to Judea, to the end of the earth. And I love to be back here and also see all the walls, you know, the pictures. I feel like I'm forever, Linda and I, we are forever young there, right? Right. All right, yeah. And also, Gary and Cindy, you are forever young too. Even with the gray hair, right? I have some too, but you know, young at heart. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Abba. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Yes, Father, you deserve everything. Thank you for redeeming us from the dust, from our transgressions through the precious blood of your Son, the Lamb of God who was slain, to purchase from all tribe, all nations, Lord, to sing of your glory and praise, Father. We are waiting eagerly for the day Jesus is coming back to reign the whole earth. But we thank you for the spirituality, Lord. You are already the King of our lives here on earth, in our hearts, in the midst of us, Father. May you receive all the glory here as we assemble together. In the mighty name of your person, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, everywhere I go, I carry a world map. This is the best gift Linda has given me because I feel this is my Father's world. And I'm in my Father's business. You know, that's why when you ask about it, ask for the nations. I said, that's each one of us. You know, we have a daddy, you know. This is his world, my Father's, our Father's world, right? Yeah. The 7 billion people are waiting to come home. And like the first one, like the prodigal son coming back home. Each one of us, right, was there. But we are home here to continue that mission. That mission. And thank you for supporting us continue the mission in Asia, in Hong Kong, China. And thank you. 1989, today, September 26th, you know what happened here? No? Okay, I need to let Gary to tell the story. What happened September 26, 1989? Oh, yeah. Okay, Gary. Gary was sent out from here.
It's true.
Right.
I correct his Chinese. He correct my English.
Okay.
No problem, he said. I was sitting in the chair there thinking, where did Mark get his first Bible? You know where it came from? It came from right here.
Okay.
It came from right here. September 26, 1989 was not in a good season of my life. And Cindy and I were divorced. I brought my first wife with me today just to concentrate. September 26, 1989, I had just finished speaking at a missions conference in Southwest Pennsylvania. I knew when I got home, Cindy would not be there. Have you ever been through a dark time? You know, you do come out the other side. Some of you, I'm sure, in a dark time now in various ways. That was the threshold to most wonderful blessings in my life, including remarrying Cindy 5 years later.
Here.
Yeah. David, you remember? Yeah, Sunday morning service. But anyway, September 26th, the Lord gave me a verse which I did not understand but struck me like a stone from David's sling. Forget the former things. Do you have trouble doing that? Maybe you were abused. Maybe you were neglected. Maybe you were rejected very painfully at some time in your life. Maybe the Lord is saying, forget the former things. Do not focus on the past. It's there, but you don't have to focus on it. Behold, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up before you. Do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. And I went, thunk. That translated to the pastor of Lansdowne Church at the time, who had told me, correctly so, I believe, I could not be a deacon, I could not be an elder. Didn't bother me at all. I told him right there, I don't want to stay up till midnight talking about things, you know. However, he and I knelt right here for an hour about 6 months later and praying about whether or not I should go to China. And this Mennonite who had told me I could not be an elder, could not be a deacon, correctly so, he got up with tears in his eyes and he said, I think you should go. That is where he got his first Bible. Right here. I remember when David Zook and some other elders prayed for me right here. Sent this divorcee to China. You know, sometimes for you, I'm called to the Lord. Sometimes God will say to someone, hey, I'm not here for you. I'm called to the lost sheep of Israel. And sometimes he makes an exception. He says, okay, I'm going to heal you now anyway. And that took place right here. And here's some of the fruit.
I will ask you to sing the song with me. This is my story.
Cindy.
Cindy will lead us.
Cindy's the singer. I am, I hold the mic.
He's the speaker. Just the chorus. Okay. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord, we thank you for the story, and it's our story, also your redemptive story, using our brokenness to do your work, to tell how great you are. And thank you for going, Cindy, Gary. Thank you, Cindy, for releasing him to go. And then welcome him back. Thank you, church, for commissioning him to go. And with the blessed hope, God is doing the restoration as we obey. Sometimes it's a radical obedience. Sometimes it doesn't make sense. And I think that's part of our story, too. You know, last year we came here with two suitcases. We were here at the China Harvest Conference in South Carolina. And but we're still here. You know, I think his ways are our ways, right? And that higher than ours. So we're beginning to understand why the Lord is putting us here. And yesterday we spent time with Pastor Ricardo and Kendra and the family. Just tell our stories. They came to about 2 years ago, right? They are still here. But now we are grateful. And God is bringing them here for such a time as this. If you ask me a few years back, you know, America, does America need missionaries? I thought that was a joke. I said, you have everything here. But being here for the last 1.5 years, I do agree. You know, there is a missionary calling here. God is using this country to send out a missionary to all nations. And for this season, he's bringing the missionaries back. For what purpose? I feel like it is he's the commander in chief. He's mobilizing his army here to train equip us for a global harvest. That's why we're here, Captain. Get the ship ready. You know, yeah. That's how I feel. It's God's church alignment with his kingdom purpose. You know, we have been so complacent, you know, but the Lord is shaking the whole earth, you know, so that we can enter into the great wave he's making. Even he's using this pandemic. You know, last year we're here, we're doing, you know, we couldn't go back because of the pandemic, because of what's going on in China, in Hong Kong. You know, we were perplexed, you know, but the Lord gave me a working visa within 10 days here. That's unheard of in the midst of all the, you know, nobody's at work, all right? But I got my working visa within 10 days. I know it's a miracle for me. So now the Lord is bringing us back to this land to bless this land. You know, I speak with deep humility here. I've also visited. We have received so many missionaries like Gary Cindy. And last week we were here. I've also visited another missionary in Charlottesville, Jerry and Laura King. They were missionaries to China in the early 90s. While I was a college student, right after the Tiananmen students massacre, the student movement, we were so disillusioned about communism. We were being lied, and where was truth? But the Lord sent the missionary to my college. When I was asking the question, what is freedom? And the missionary was able to say, the freedom is from the truth. What is truth? I was asking. I was expecting him to give me a grand theory like Karl Marx, you know, and a dialectic materialism. But he simply told me, God's word. God's word. I said, no way, that's religion. You know, that's for my mom, for my grandmom, for people who do not have good education. I believe in science. You know, E equals MC squared. You know, what does that mean? E MC squared. You know that? It's so right, but nothing to do with my heart. My heart was so broken, so disappointed about the politics, about the false promise of communism. But when he introduced me back, I told him, my grandma, my mom are Christians. I can tell you some Bible stories. You know, they are the fruit of the early missionaries from China Inland Mission. Charles and Taylor, you may know, right? But they had to leave because the communists came into power. But the word of God was there. My mom was so sick when she was 16 years old. In the desperation from my mom, my grandmom, she knows, from her relatives, believe in Jesus. Jesus can heal her daughter. So my grandmom took my mom to this remote village where the elderly Christians still remember the missionary taught them how to pray. They pray very simply, Lord, have mercy on this girl. God did show his mercy on my mom. She was healed. The power of the gospel. You know, during the darkest time in China. That's how God is preparing the house church in China for such a time as this. Another wave of persecution is coming to China, even to Hong Kong. You may have heard the news. But I believe God is using this persecution to purify his church. Get ready for places like Afghanistan. In all the stands, right? That's 20 years ago. I was here when September 11th happened. I was so angry. All these years that this country has blessed so many nations. And then America was attacked. I was a student at Regent. So I called the army. I wanted to be a chaplain in Afghanistan. And they didn't accept me. And I called the Marine again, U.S. Marine. And they asked me, are you a citizen? I'm not. Do you have a green card? I do not. I said, thank you. You need to show your allegiance to this country. But I said, I just want to help. I want to be a champion in Afghanistan. because I was taking the mission courses there. Afghanistan was such a strategic way along the Silk Road. You know, that's where God has given the Chinese church back, take the gospel back to Jerusalem along the Silk Road. 20 years after, we're still here. What happened? All the sacrifices. That's why I feel if we do not see from God's perspective, we are losing the perspective. Yeah. All the sacrifices seems in vain. But God is opening this land for his purpose. Yeah. It seems the communist is using this opportunity, right? To rebuild Afghanistan. And I pray God will use the silver and gold of China to bless this nation. The kingdom of God will come to that place. His purpose. Remember? Our God, he's sovereign over the kingdoms of men. He changes times and seasons, right? That's how God is advancing his mission. Through the humble servants like us. Through his church. Through the missionaries. You know? And that's when Pastor was asking, are you ready to be a full-time mission? I think each of us, there's no part-time Christians at all. Right? We are all followers of Christ. Therefore, each one of us has a crucial role to play in fulfilling the Great Commission. From right where we are. That's what happened in the early church. I'd like to, Xavier, would you please show some a few PowerPoints? Remember, under Roman Empire, right? But what happened just within 300 years? Remember the first century? Only a few red dots, right? That's the early church. But look at, you know, the second century, and then the third century, all the Roman Empire. How did that happen? What can we learn from that missions movement? Let's see the next ones. So this starts with someone who used to persecute Christians. Imagine someday when President Xi is coming here, join us. You know, he has a new name. President, not she, President he. Right? He is created in the image of God for his glory. For his glory. God is able to change his heart. Like to what he did to Nebuchadnezzar. Like what he did to Saul. Look at. Just simple four trips. Right? Four missionary trips. But very strategic. Look at the white one. That was the first one. And then the second one, the yellow. And then the third one. And the fourth one. He was taking on the ship sponsored by the Roman empires, right? To finish, to go to Rome to tell the kings about the kingdom of God. He is the king of kings. How did he become so convinced of that? God prepared his heart. I'd love to read a scripture from Ephesians, a letter he wrote from the prison in Rome. This explains his deep conviction. And he, let me read Ephesians chapter 2. Here it says, chapter 2, verse 11. Therefore, remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, which is done in the body by human hands. Remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barriers, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace. And in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who are far away and peace to those who are near. For through him, we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. That's who we are, brothers and sisters. We are members of God's household. You used to be aliens, strangers, foreigners, right? And or all Gentiles, right? And unless you are Jew by birth, right? But God used the Jew, Jesus, to fulfill. He's the Messiah. He is the one that Paul was hoping for, but he didn't expect. The Messiah was crucified. They were expecting a hero like Moses. But God knew our sin, our transgressions. That's the thing really separate us from God. That's the ultimate solution. Christ, the Son of God, was crucified so we can be purchased into the household of God. That all nations, all tribes, that's what we're singing right in the Revelation, right? And that's God's household. That's why I feel at home. Yep. Even we have different color, different background, right? Even my Chinese needs to be corrected by Gary, right? Right? And, but we have one Spirit we can access to our Father's house. And God is using the house of God, the church. Yep. Let's continue to read God's plan for the Gentiles. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles. Surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you. That is the mystery made known to me by revelation, as I have already written briefly. In reading this, then, you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to people in other generations, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise in Christ Jesus. That's God is giving him the revelation now. All people groups coming together in Christ. We can be heirs like Abraham's seed through Jesus Christ. He said, I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of his power. Although I'm less than the least of all the Lord's people, the grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles the boundless riches of Christ and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God, who created all things. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose that he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. And in him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. That's Apostle Paul. He understands how God is going to use the church here, a local church, to manifest his kingdom. That, to unfold what kingdom mandate, right? The body of Christ. And it continues, you know, to unfold. What does it mean to be body in the body of Christ? And he shared about how should we live in the household of God, right? Put on the new things, right? Husband and wives, even work, you know, masters, you know, children and parents, master and servants. That's the community people can tell from the family of family, God's household. That's how God is using Apostle Paul to share the gospel. Let's next. In the strategic cities, look at Paul, the early church, the first 100 years. It's very simple. Look at the church. Two or three gather together. We ask of God. He will be with us. You know, look at the numbers of the church. The largest will be 50 to 70. Right? That's someone's house. You know, there's no buildings, church buildings, institutions. Just meeting the house churches. That's a network of in one city. That's, you know. But most of the church is like 12 to 15 people. Several families get together. So that's why I hear Pastor Ricardo and share with me, our church now has several house-to-house churches there. That's we take communion together. We pray together. We learn the apostles' teaching together. Right? That's the essential of a church. So simple. We are making it too complicated. Yeah. You know, only somebody well-trained to be missionary. But God used a broken vessel like Gary to show forth his glory. Each one of us, when we are willing to be used by God, he will show forth his glory. He used someone, a killer, a persecutor, Saul, to start all this. You know, that's one church network in the city. And under Roman Empire, there are about 31 major cities, like Philippi, like, you know, Corinth. But each city church has a wipe of a house church network like this, like in Virginia Beach, right? Tidewater area. There is a network of churches. They do the similar thing, same thing. The essential four pillars, right? Pastor has been preaching the book of Acts. No such other fancy things. That's, they have, like today we know, a strategic hub, like the United Airlines, right? In Chicago somewhere. They mapping out under Roman Empire, the strategic cities like Ephesus, right? Like Antioch, he was sent from Antioch. He went to Ephesus and eventually ended up in Rome. He built beachheads. That's why Hong Kong, you know, when we moved back to Hong Kong was such a strategic hub, a beachhead. That's when Gary first went there, right, to smuggle Bible into China. That's why the communists really afraid. That's why they're taking, you know, Hong Kong. But God, it's too late for them. I tell you the news. It's too late. There are house churches even in Hong Kong. Even in Hong Kong, that's what we have been doing in the last few years. Build a house church network in Hong Kong. And last year when we first came here, because of the pandemic, I reconnected with my Chinese church friends, pastors, because they couldn't go back to the mega church model. So they were asking me, you know, can you share with us what you have learned in the house church model in China? Yeah. It was a simple church like this, right? So we did a training with the cell group leaders, the elders, the deacons. They are so excited. Instead of listening to pastor here listening, right? The pastors, like in Ephesians, we're equipping apostles, teachers, equipping all God's people, right? We are equippers, right? Yeah, right. And so we can do the work of the gospel. Each one of us is so essential, so important in this. So, and then he shared about this on his YouTube. He's a well-known, by the way, he was one of the 21 students leader during Tiananmen Students Movement, 89. But God saved his life, came to Christ. He escaped from China. And he started church in Washington, D.C., in Los Angeles, in Philadelphia, in New York. Had about 8 churches here. Also started a church in Australia, New Zealand. So he shared this with them, oh, the house church model. That's our brothers and sisters, how they face the communism. I shared this, and we were thinking maybe we start online Bible school. Just test this model. But when he shared this, 159 students from 13 nations responded. So we had a class of 159 students are using this church model. Some of them already in Middle East. In some places I cannot share with you the locations. But that's how God is using the early church. Put the DNA of the church of Jesus Christ in them so they can multiply. I like, next please. But they have, look at the bottom. That's Apostle Paul. He has a team like Timothy, like Titus, sending letters to them, right? So that's complex network. A leadership team makes sure that's Paul was written all his letters, right? He has early letters focusing on the gospel. What is the gospel in these strategic cities? And then He established, strengthened the churches, and, you know, raised up local. That's his first missionary trip, right? In Acts chapter 13, 14. When we do not have leaders raise up, deacons, elders, it's not a complete mission. We evangelize, we start to establish churches, we raise up in trust to the faithful men in the local churches. That's Paul's cycle. When he finishes, he moved to another place, another strategic city. That's the first 300 years, Roman Empire. Now we have so many Christians, 2 million, right? Two billion at least. If each one of us does our part, you know, acceleration the harvest time, my brothers and sisters. Get ready for a global harvest. That's why God is bringing us back here to alignment with his plan, to use his church as a family. Look at the next one, please. Esther, you are my great assistant. I'm taking you to the mission field. Come on, you're coming with me, Esther, okay? It started already, right? We're working together on this. Look at Paul's letter. Romans, Galatians, 1 Thessalonians, Corinthians, all the early letters talk about what is the gospel? Why resurrection is so important? But all the issues the early believers facing. So he's writing this letter, not we distill it like it's some doctrine, you know. No, there's life in his letter, right? Yeah. So in the middle letter is about from the prison. Ephesians is one of them, right? What is church? And in Galatians, who is this Christ? You know, all things are hidden in him. What should we then leave? The household tax, right? Husband and wife. That's his, you know. But Paul's later letter, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, Titus. It's about raising up leaders, right? How we live in the house of God. The elders, the deacons, what are the qualifications, right? So that's very simple. That's why I'm so encouraged to see our church here now doing the house-to-house churches. Yeah. Brothers, that's so simple. Each one can participate in the mission of God. Yeah. Invite your neighbors. I just experienced something last Friday. We were not planning, but when Gary and Cindy invite Jim, would you please stand up, Jim and Wanda? Would you please welcome them back here? They are right in the community, Lansdowne community. Right? Does the Lansdowne Community Church cover that community at all? We are one body. I never met my brother and my sister, but when Cindy began to ask, tell me about what God's doing in your life, the miracles, he almost died. But God healed him, you know? And when we share testimony, I was encouraged to share my testimony. It's like we overcome by the word, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of testimony. We start like we began to sing and worship. And of course, we had good Chinese meal there too, right? That helps, right? The spicy food, you know, that's the fire. No, that's the Holy Spirit encourage us. So simple, my brothers. When you open up your home, meal is so special. When we share meal together, it's openness, right? So that's the early church. Very simple. Look at, continue to read Ephesians. Talk about, you know, chapter 4 or 5, how we should live as a new creation. New conduct. In the past, you steal, but now you do not, right? And the virtue, fruit of the Spirit, family, household, and husband and wife, you know, parents and children. Sometimes we're becoming so professional, we give the kids away to youth ministry leaders. But, you know, they are part of the family. Their perspective can be so inspiring to us, right? So that's why the household of God, that's why I love Gary and Cindy where they're living right now with Ben and Jenny, with their grandchildren, Nathan and Jack. He has so much wisdom. You know, but the culture here is like, you know, grandparents, and we are the nuclear family. That's all right. But David and Pauline, you have so much legacy. I want to learn how to build the house. Yeah. I want to learn, you know, that's so natural. You can pass on to your next generation. That's Titus chapter 2, right? Elderly men, elderly women, teach the younger women how to be wives, yeah. Right? Pass on the legacy. That's the house of God. So simple. So church is not an institution. It's a family of families. That's right. That's this morning we're worshiping the Zouk family here, right? The Francois family, the Joe family, right? We are family together this afternoon. And Sam and Laura, thank you so much for opening your house. We are going to have a family of family celebration. And I welcome you to that on behalf of our host, right? So we experience the body of Christ. So thank you so much, Pastor, and our brothers and sisters inviting us here. Thank you, Kathy, for keeping the good communication, inviting us, plan all this. We are so honored to be back home. And the Lord gave us a new home in Chattanooga. Do you know where Chattanooga is? Chattanooga Choo Choo, right? Rock City, come and see, right? It's beautiful valley there. You know, we ended up there. Lena and I, we moved there last September, so we have been there. And the Lord opened the door for me to work with the ministry there. But my past is like working mission director for Asia. That's in the past, in the regional, you know. But now there are a lot of Asians in America. 5 million Chinese. We connect with the Chinese church in Chattanooga there. They are asking us to help them with their leadership development, church planting. You know, I feel like that's my brother, when God brought you and family here for a purpose, such something like this. Instead of just us doing it, we can multiply all this. So it's from China harvest to global harvest. Yeah. Hallelujah. Let's stand up and praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's stand up, my brothers. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Father. May your heart be pleased, Abba Father. We are in our Father's business to receive each one of your creation has opportunity to hear the good news. Come back home, Lord. Use the least one of us, the little ones we never saw. I'm nobody here. But Lord, when your spirit come upon them, use them mightily. We thank you, Father. You're not only giving us the great commission, but also the great empowerment, the Holy Spirit. We are here, Lord. Use us to be a witness in this community, in our community, our household, Lord. So everybody, come back home. I love you, Abba. We thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Father. Yes, Lord. You know, this is something we're going to do here. We're going to sing the same song again. But how many of us here wants to say yes, embrace the Lord's calling over your life, saying, God, I don't know about anybody else, but as for me and myself and I, I'm gonna be a missionary. You know, so I want two chairs. What I want to do is I want you to make that, we're gonna make that personal. I'll invite you to come to the altar. And what do? You just come to the altar and do this. Yes, Lord, and sing this song. But I'm inviting you, okay? If you want to say, hey, God, I want to, I want to collaborating with you. I want to work with you, partnering with you. Just answer to the Lord's calling this morning.